continuing to report very, very aggressively on these stories.
Bradley Manning is being tried at Fort Meade. That's the headquarters of the National Security Agency. Can you talk about the significance of that and how they're related, Glenn?
Sure. I mean, I think the critical context for everything that has happened here, from Snowden's leaks to his decision to leave the United States and go to Hong Kong, the context of it is this incredibly vicious and unparalleled war on whistleblowers that the Obama administration has been waging. And of course, that war on whistleblowers is as vividly apparent in the case of Bradley Manning as it is anywhere else. Here is somebody who didn't release any top secret information. It was all secret and classified. There is zero evidence that any national security harm came from it. There's certainly no evidence that he intended any national security harm. He, too, could have sold that information or given it to a foreign government that was hostile to the United States. He didn't do that. His intent clearly was to blow the whistle. And yet he's almost certain to be in prison for the next two decades, probably, if the U.S. government has its way, for the rest of his life at the age of 25. He was, as the U.N. found, subjected to very abusive detention practices. And so when you say that Ed Snowden shouldn't have left the United States or anything like that, the context is that the U.S. government has proven that whistleblowers will be severely and harshly treated as a way of deterring and intimidating people from engaging in further disclosures.
Glenn, the NSA has promised to come out this week with details on the plots that it says have been foiled by surveillance. Your assessment of what you've heard so far, we've heard talk of phone records being used to foil the subway bombing plot in 2009, and also your assessment of the news that the NSA is saying that 300 phone records were searched last year.
So this is the playbook that the U.S. government has been using for I don't know how many decades to delegitimize any disclosure, going back to the Pentagon Papers when they accused Daniel Ellsberg of helping the communists in Vietnam and jeopardizing and putting
Glenn,
at risk
we have 10 seconds.
The lives of American service members. So it's completely irrational. I think any of those claims should be very rigorously scrutinized because they don't stand up to scrutiny.
Glenn, do you have more pieces coming out?
Yes, we do, including in the next couple days.
Glenn Greenwald, columnist and blogger for The Guardian. We'll link to all his articles at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke and Nate Felsar-Mate. Near me, Sheikh Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
This is Donna with your WUSB Concert Billboard for Sunday, June 16th. Happy Father's Day. John March will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport from 1 to 3 p.m. Ahmad Ali will be out at Dilberto Winery in Jamesport at 2 p.m. Sweet Susie and Sugarfix will be at the Beach Hut at Venetian Shores Park in Lindenhurst. Roulette presents The Vision Festival with Inner City Migrations, Positive Knowledge, Brass Roots, and more, 6 p.m. On your billboard for Monday, June 17th, Hypnotic Brass Ensemble will be at the Highline Ballroom in Manhattan, 9 p.m. Looking ahead to Wednesday, June 19th, the B-52s and the Go-Go's will be at the Roseland Ballroom.
From Manhattan to Montauk, Bridgeport to Amagansett, if your favorite band is there, you'll find it here on the Concert Billboard on WUSB Stony Brook.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock, time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi there, Emmanuel.
How are you?
I'm good. I see you have a show to do here.
I have a show. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Is this the same problem again? Say something. Go ahead. Just say anything.
Anything.
Yeah, you're coming through the left channel only again. All right. And we know where the problem is this time. It's this stupid connection we've got. Just keep talking, and I'll try to improve it by sticking my thumb in here.
I see you have a show to do here tonight. You know, if you cooperate with
okay,
me...
Okay, I'm not... You can be quiet now because your audio sounds good. I realize that's a contradiction in terms, but yes, it's fine. Everything's perfect. So let's just not move an inch, and I think we'll get through this hour. Listeners, that goes for you, too. Please don't move. Your movements cause our signal to bounce off things it's not supposed to bounce off of, and then we get interference. All right, good. Everyone's in place. Put a smile on your faces, people. Come on. This is supposed to be fun. All right. Hey, riots in Brazil. Do you see that? No one's talking about it here, but they're having riots down there because they raised the bus fare 9 cents.
I can help you with this show, but you have to help me.
Okay, fine. Come be part of the show, but just don't flail about. That's all.
All right.
All right. Fair enough.
Riots in Brazil.
Yeah, because they raised the bus fare 9. It doesn't take much. 9 cents. That's all it took. Of course, there are other issues, such as spending all the money on the Olympics and the World Cup while people starve and have no homes and things like that. It could be said of almost any country that that happens to a degree, but having a lot of this happen at once is, I think, more than most people can take. So, yeah, riots. And I just got this news release from the L.A. Times saying that to counter this, a number of cities in Brazil announced reductions in public bus fares. You know, it's like they just don't get it. It's not, it's really not the 9 cents. It's not lowering the fare that's going to stop the anger. But it'll be fun to see people take advantage of better deals on the bus.
Yeah, I haven't read much about this, but I did see a clip, and it was pretty amazing, the riding that they were doing. It reminded me a lot of what was going on in BC during the Winter Games. You heard a lot more, especially locally, just about the impact the Olympic Committee has, mm-hmm. and how economies are affected or stimulated or whatnot. There was a lot of stuff going on with indigenous peoples and working the event.
In British Columbia, this happened.
Yes.
Amazing. So it's not just countries far away. It's right here at home.
Absolutely.
Of course, when it happens in the United States, it doesn't really happen as much. We're very timid. We're so timid, in fact.
Yeah, I don't remember the riots in Atlanta.
I'm not saying we have to have riots, but we do have to have a voice. We do have to speak loudly, and we have to not back down when we're
True.
Threatened with all kinds of crap that people have no business threatening us with. Whether that goes for surveillance or police intimidation tactics or just unreasonable rules that we're expected to follow, such as standing in a free speech zone, which is a little box.
Right.
Things like that.
Whether temporary or permanent,
mm-hmm.
whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was amazed. I saw the pictures. It's just huge amounts of people, like crazy,
mm-hmm.
over something simple, but it becomes a catalyst. Saw the same thing in Turkey over different issues. But
because there are lots of other issues that people aren't addressing, and you could say the same thing of any country, and yes, including ours. A lot of homelessness, a lot of people losing their homes because of bank misbehavior. All kinds of injustices that follow us around every single day, and this feeling of helplessness. Except in our case, our feeling of helplessness it links to a feeling of, well, why bother doing anything? Whereas in other places, it links to a feeling of, well, I'm mad as hell and I'm going to start showing it.
Yes.
The thing is, too, you have these riots in various places like Turkey, you have all kinds of things in Greece, you have, you know, in France, they had riots because. This was a couple of years ago. They were going to raise the retirement age 5 years in the future. Something like that was able to set off tens of thousands of people in the streets because they take issues very seriously. And, it's good to see people react, even if you don't agree with what they're reacting to. It's just good to see expression. And we need to do that more. We need to express ourselves more and not worry so much about the what-ifs, you know, what's the reaction going to be. Also, in our country, I think all the guns might make people a little bit queasy, too, as far as feeling that the authorities might be afraid of you because you could potentially could be armed, and maybe your fellow demonstrators might be. And we have to let go of that.
Becomes an excuse and all of that. I completely agree that a lot of people, and it's that fear that leads to inaction. But it's when fearless, when people are creative, it doesn't have to be a riot. When people are creative and they resist and they get together and they really make the premise of their point heard, and really fight. And it you must be fearless in any sort of action or any sort of thought or like discussion. You got to be fearless if you're afraid to share even in a discussion that eliminates the possibility of other people hearing your ideas. But man, one of the pictures I saw a guy just charging. I mean, many people, but you know, the front lines of these protests, just charging at police, like just running right at them, like absolutely abject fearlessness.
Right, and that's something that doesn't happen in this country. We talk.